Right. Well, we've just been talking about the forum and the retreat and the issues that are going to come up, obviously, around the Pacific plan and the regional mission in Solomons and the issues the forum's been helping with in Nauru. Also been talking about the relationship with PNG, which is on a very positive track with New Zealand doubling its development assistance program. So, yeah, very, very amicable meeting, catching up with the issues.
Prime Minister, we obviously have a much better relationship with Sir Michael than he does with Australia.
I wouldn't want to comment on other countries' relations with each other. Our relationship's been positive for 30 years. I think New Zealand is regarded as a good friend to Papua New Guinea. I think the fact that we're increasing the development assistance budget so radically is seen as a very, very good sign.
Prime Minister, there's quite a lot of lobbying from NGOs around the Pacific to delay that implementation of the Pacific plan. Is that completely not to be considered?
There's been a tremendous amount of consultation, and the plan is not a document that is laid in stone and is never altered. You have to get cracking. This has been 2 years in the development. There's been consultation from the outset, and there are some very good initiatives to roll forward. As we look at each one, the new ideas to be worked up, there'll be more consultation. But you can consult to the point where you never get anything done if you don't decide it's time to act.
Did you discuss the Pacific plan with Sir Michael this morning?
Yes, he's positive, and it will be his job as chair to take the leaders through it.
Because he had been quite critical of it. Is he perhaps more comfortable with it?
Well, that's not my experience. Sir Michael's been at a lot of meetings on the Pacific plan with me. Specifically in the course of the last year, he's been down to New Zealand twice for two extra meetings on the development of the plan and very fully involved, and I've always found him very supportive of it.
So he's a very strong ally for New Zealand to forge ahead with the Pacific plan? Yeah.
Well, I believe so. Papua New Guinea is a country with a lot of development challenges, and it needs support, goodwill, cooperation of its neighbours moving ahead.
There's a lot of information in the plan, a lot of things people have been asked to sign up to, but you're saying that you don't need to sign up to these all at once. Is that part of a concerted effort with Australia and New Zealand to try and get agreement on principle on the plan now and then look at timelines later?
No. Obviously there are a lot of early wins in the plan, a lot of early initiatives, 22 of them. Now, not every country will pick up all 22 of them straight up. People have to look at what is in their own national development strategies and how that matches with these priorities. But I believe the work that's been done to build a region-wide consensus about what the priorities are will in turn then influence national plans and give people guidance as to how they take their development further.
And that perhaps will help persuade some of the smaller nations, prime ministers, who feel that the plan is in some ways full of platitudes.
Oh, it's certainly not full of platitudes, it's full of concrete action, and there's very, very busy work agenda ahead.
And we spoke this morning, Prime Minister, about the importance of PACER, and it's the top item in the early fruit. That in particular seems to be the area where there was the most concern from the non-government organisation groups.
You have some groups which are never terribly supportive of trade. Let's take that as a given. But the PACER agreement is important to New Zealand because it is triggered at the point when the European Union starts seriously discussing trade agreements with the Pacific. And it would be a travesty if a country with long history of relations with Pacific nations, which New Zealand has, were to end up in a worse footing vis-a-vis the Pacific nations in trade than Europe, which is a very, very long way away. So PACER has to be seen as a cornerstone of the way we move ahead on trade in the Pacific.
Clearly NGOs see it differently. They think that, European trade is not that important to the Pacific Islands in terms of incoming trade that they forego tariffs on because they don't actually import very much from Europe.
They
import a lot from us.
It's not acceptable to New Zealand that Europe, 12,000 miles away, could be on a better trade footing than New Zealand in the Pacific.
If Australia and New Zealand committed to not trying to abolish tariffs within PACER, then on our imports, then the European Union would be put in a position where they're not unlikely to get such a deal.
Longer term, PACER will see tariffs go around the Pacific, but this is going to take a lot of talking, a lot of negotiation.
Yeah.
Prime Minister twice in 2 days asked about your new foreign minister. Are you surprised by that at all?
Not really. We've had one foreign minister for the past 6 years, so a new personality coming in is always going to attract attention, whoever it is.
Any of the leaders you've spoken to have any concerns about Mr. Peters taking the role?
None whatsoever.
In terms of temporary Labour thing that was, is that a new initiative? Is that something that's been discussed for the last a lot? I hadn't heard of it.
It's been in the background with developing countries right around the world, not only the Pacific, that they see the ability to have income from remittances is very important in the development process, and there are a lot of studies which suggest that it's going to be one of the key things that does drive development. As I've said both in the Solomon Islands yesterday and to the Chamber of Commerce today, New Zealand's preference has been to have permanent residence arrangements which enable people to come to New Zealand and be on a secure footing. We have had some limited experience with work schemes in the past, and some of the overstayer problem in New Zealand with, for example, Tuvaluans comes from people who never went home from those schemes. So if there's to be consideration of this in the future by our government, it would need to be on the basis of very clear understandings with Pacific governments and also with employers on people going home at the end of the stay. The last thing you want is to build up a population of illegals who live under an acceptable threshold of employment and health and other conditions in New Zealand.
Could that be the payoff then for Pacific nations to support the Pacific plan?
Oh, I'm not seeing it in those terms. We know that this issue is going to be raised, and we need to respond in a way that's realistic, given that it does create issues. Issues for us if we can't deal with people going home at the end of the permits, and also issues for Pacific countries. And we have to keep in mind that Pacific countries have their human resources as their most precious resources. And if the metropolitan powers like New Zealand are drawing off the most skilled people, that doesn't always greatly assist Pacific development.
Have you discussed this policy discussion with Winston Peters at all?
He is aware that this issue is coming up at the forum. He's been very specifically briefed by Foreign Affairs last week.
What are his views on?
Oh, I've no idea, but he's been briefed. Okay.
Thank you.
Chris.